Pastor Kim, and this is Transforming Lives, where transformation is the subject. And so God would have prepared a way of escape and repentance for mankind from that moment. Hey, Ashley. So God has a plan for your life. And so I sense greatly tonight that there are some of you who are carrying a heavy burden. You are so heavy with your struggle. You are so heavy with your issue. You are so heavy with that problem you've got going on. You're so heavy with that bitterness in your heart. You are so heavy with that stuff. And God is saying to you tonight, I hear you coming back and forth. I hear you coming to me. I hear you saying this, but I've got some people I want you to go and say this to so that they can help to pull you out. Not that God is not enough, but God wants you to experience him through someone else. Because how God, as we talked about measured faith last, we talked about measured faith on the first Tuesday of March, where in Romans, the Bible says that not everybody has the same measure of faith, and therefore the giftings don't operate the same way, because it takes a measure of faith for the gift to perform in a certain kind of way. So the anointing that's upon my life, the measure of faith I carry, causes that anointing to operate in a certain way or at a certain level. And when I grow my faith, my anointing is more explored. It's more explosive. And so that's why you've got fathers in the faith. My apostle, Bishop Courtney McLean, he's a father in the faith. He's a steward of faith. And so his faith is at a greater level. And so his measure of faith causes the anointing on his life to be explosive. And so there are some people who have labored so that their faith can grow. And when you connect with those people, you experience God in a whole nother way. Because the reality is that your faith may not be at that level, and that's just the truth. And does that make you a bad Christian? No, it doesn't make you a bad Christian. It just means that there are levels of glory and levels of glory, and there are some people who go for a higher level, make the sacrifice for that level, push for that level. And the truth is, you're not at that same level. But not because you're not at that level, this ain't no competition. Now there are people who are pushing for that level so that they can come back and be an impact on your life. That's why you've got to pray for your pastors, pray for your leaders, pray for the apostles, because Ephesians tells us that that God called them and anointed them for the perfecting of the saints. So the kind of labor that they put in, the how hard they go, the more prayer they pray. I mean, you know, spending hours in prayer, spending hours in studying. You are spending hours on your job, and you've got to work, and you've got to, you know, exercise your faith on your mountain of society. And as you are doing that, God has people who is on the mountain of God and seeking him on your behalf, and he wants you to experience him through that person. I can't labor on this no more. I hope that you get what I'm saying. If you get what I'm saying, say amen. I want to make sure that you're getting it. So number two is confession, vulnerability, and that shows forth your faith from both angles. So I'm believing God, you're confessing to me and telling me what's going on, and I'm believing God that there's greater in you. And you also being the confessee, you're the person confessing what's going on, is because you have faith in God that when I say this to this person, God is going to help me through them. Yes, because God's not going to leave his throne. That's why he has people in the earth to help. He's not going to leave his throne and come down to do it. He's going to allow the anointing. He's going to release himself. He's going to use somebody to speak into your life. And that's why you need pastors and leaders, and you need to be a part of a community. It is beneficial for you to be a part of a community, to be connected to a voice that can really speak into your spirit. Amen. Number three characteristic of faith in prayer is pray for one another. That's faith. praying for one another. And we would have labored on this a little bit a while ago. So praying for one another, that's a characteristic of faith in prayer. When you're praying for one another, you're not just praying for yourself, but you're praying for one another. Because guess what? It takes, do you believe, or have you ever experienced how much easier it is to pray for people than it is to pray for yourself? How many of you have ever experienced that? It is so much easier to pray for people than to pray for yourself. And you're pushing in prayer for people and you realize that, oh my God, I'm not even praying for myself. But when I'm praying for you and you're praying for me, something is happening in the spirit world. I'm covered, you're covered. I'm covered, you're covered. So in my praying for you and my intercession for you, as I'm praying for you, I'm believing by faith that there are others praying for me. Now I pray and I ask God for what I want and I go to him and I pray, you know, humbly and boldly in his presence, and I do that. But there are days when you know, I can't find the words to say it for myself. But I've got faith to know that there is a community of people praying for me, and that's my faith. And so I rest in that. Come on now. You've got to rest in that. You've got to know that there are people praying for you, no matter how easy. Well, let me say it this way. It is easy for you to start feeling alone. And to, you know, even this evening, I was talking to my spirit and I was saying, oh, you are not alone. You are not alone. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the enemy. You are not alone. You are surrounded by people who love you. You are surrounded by people who catch the vision. You are surrounded by people who wants this to work. You are not alone. And so, you know, sometimes you've just got to encourage yourself to know that there are people who are actually praying for you. And this is why you need community. Because there are days when you don't have the words to say, but your faith in knowing that pastor is praying. I mean, I just put up my prayer wall. I wish I could show it to you guys. And there, you know, I've got some list of names that I'm going to be putting on my prayer wall. There are some list of names that are already there, and I've categorized them. The ones who are urgent, I put them in pink. The ones who are not so urgent are in orange, and the ones who are, you know, they're not so urgent, they are in green. And I categorize them. I said, God, these pink ones, they are urgent. You've got to come through. And I lay my hands on them and I said, God, come on, you got to work in these people's lives. You need that. You need that. Our bishop is up every morning at 5 a.m. And praying for praying for the church and praying for WAFIF and praying for WAFIF FL. And he's on at 6:30 in the morning praying for the partners and praying for people, whomever who will join. So you've got people praying for you. And when you know that you've got a community of people praying for you, you can rest in that place and know, hey, I've got folks praying for me. And, you know, you can pull a fast one on the devil and be like, I've got people praying for me, so you can't win with this. No. Because you see, the enemy works through isolation. I said something last week on Sunday. I'm trying to remember it. I'm trying to remember it. It's something to do with isolation. But I know that I could say it this way, that violation comes through isolation. The enemy isolates you and violates you. The enemy isolates you and violates you. And so it is often that when you're going through something, you start to feel like you are alone. And when you start to encourage that thought that you are alone is when you get violated by the enemy. But you've got a praying church. You've got a praying people. You've got people who are believing God for you. And you've got to rest in that, because sometimes you don't have the faith for yourself, but faith is all around you. Pull on somebody else's faith. And that's why you've got to reach out, and you can't do life on your own. You can't sit over there in your little corner going through what you're going through and feeling like nobody cares and all the rest of it, all the other lies that the devil be telling you. You can't do that. You've got to connect with faith. And when faith meets faith, miracles happen. Come on now. We are not created to do life alone. And you may not have the faith You may not have the faith to believe God for that thing, but I may have the faith. Evangelists may have the faith. And when faith meets faith, miracles happen. This Christian walk is not about you and you over here just building up your own little kingdom and you over here just doing your own little thing. No, that's not why we do this. We do this so we can walk together. We do this so we can run together. We do this so we can do life together. It's not about just what you're doing over here. And no, it's not a competition. We are each other's keepers. Each joint supplieth, the Bible says. Each joint supplieth. Each joint supplieth. Each joint supplieth. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Each joint supplieth. Every joint supplies. I feel such a pulling on my spirit, and I'm really trying to finish this, and I feel so overwhelmed and emotional. I really do feel you pulling on my spirit, because I sense that there are so many of you that feel so alone tonight. But listen, my God, Evangelist is here. Deacon Odin is here. Minister Dale is here. My God, I've got leaders online tonight. Stephelicia is here. My God, Deaconess Joyce is here. We've got people believing God for you, Chantel. We've got people praying for you. You are not alone. You may feel trapped. You may feel bound. You may feel hurt. You, my God, but tonight each joint supply, and I've got a little extra in my joint. I release that strength tonight. That I release that grace tonight that you need. I release that tonight. Receive it in the name of Jesus. My God, that life from the enemy is expelled from your mind. You are not alone. You are not isolated. You each joint supplies. My God, there's a great connection tonight and a great flow that is happening. And I sense a movement of God. There's a stirring happening. My God, some things are starting to turn again. And somebody in the midst of all of this is being delivered. You gotta have faith and believe that you've got somebody doing, my God, doing time for you. Come on now. You've got some people doing time for you, Sabrina. You've got some people doing time for you, Ashley. And yes, you will get to that place where you can do time for people, where you can pray for them, and you can get into the courtroom of heaven and lay down the word of God and speak it and declare it over people. But there are days when you need someone to carry you, and you've got to know that there is faith in this community. You are not alone. Here's the fourth characteristic of faith in prayer. And that's where we're going to leave that tonight, because I feel like I out-preach this. But here is the fourth characteristic of faith in prayer. Fervency. Somebody say fervency. Fervency. That word fervent means passionate prayer. Woo! Passion. Avid. Ooh, bright. Livid. Vivid. Passion. Passion. Here is what I want to say to you tonight. Passionate prayer is faith-filled prayer. I'm not saying that there are times when, you know, you can't just sit down and be, you know, just really relaxed in the presence of the Lord and you know, just chill out in your prayer closet and just, you know, cry and do all of that stuff and lay down and, you know, just meditate. And that's good, and I do that a lot, but there are days, oh my goodness, there are days you gotta get up. There are days you gotta shake your head. There are days you gotta put your hand at your hip. There are days when you gotta raise your voice. There are days when you've gotta cry at the top of your lungs. There are days when you've gotta open your, Evangelist Winston would say, open up your mouth. There are days when you've gotta get passionate. There are days when you've got to cry. There are days when you've got to have nose not running. There are days when your face is messed up and your hair be messed up and your clothes is messed up. There are days when you can't do this cute meditation stuff. And I mean, listen, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I do that every day. But there are days you got to get radical. There are days you can't just, There are days you gotta push. Yeah, there are days you gotta, your belly has got to burn from you crying. There are days you gotta, listen, have you ever cried and prayed until your voice left? Oh, people could say whatever they want to say, how you extra and all that stuff. Send them to go read the book of James. Send them over to James chapter 5. Send them over to James and let them see what James be saying in chapter 5 and verse 16. Passion. Woo! Passion. 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 Passion is also a word that could be used for emotion. There are some people who say, you know, you can't use your emotions to praise God. Well, you know, that can be argued. Because, listen, your toxic emotions can't praise God. But when passion arises in you, what you going to channel it through? It's definitely going to be through your emotions. When the enemy comes up at you and you get mad at the enemy, that's an emotion of anger. And that's righteous indignation. And God can use your emotion. Except when your emotion is toxic and it's, you know, swinging in the wrong direction, then God can't use that. And that's why the meditation is important. That's why the solitude and the silence is important, so that he can pull that stuff out of you and show you that emotion that you're talking about and preaching with and praying with, that's wrong. That's not the emotion I want to come across. The emotion I want to come across is this. And you hear that in your meditative time when you're meditating on the Lord and on the word of God, and God begins to show you what he wants to protrude out of you and to flow out of you. And so you get into that place and you begin to say, okay, Lord, fix my emotions so that I can, you know, I can flow in the right way. But when that thing is aligned, whoo, honey, let me tell you, and you begin to pray with righteous fire, that devil has got to back up. And so fervency in prayer, because we're not over here shouting and going on because we want to put on a show. No, we don't like to work hard, but we know we got to. We're not over here putting on a show of who can outshout who. That's not what this is. This is us having faith to know that when we push like that and shake our body and stomp our feet and shake our head, my God, this is us knowing that when we go hard, things break, things turn, things shift. Case in point, when I was a young girl, my mom, she would come into the room 5 o'clock every morning. It was the most annoying thing as a teenager. My mom would come into the room every morning and she would beat me with that Bible. No wonder I have to preach. She would put some licks on me. And I mean, she is hitting me in my head, in my back. She beating me from head to foot with the Bible, Sister Felicia. And I'm telling you, her fervency in prayer. And she would cry. Nobody could sleep when my mom begins to pray. And she would cry and she would push, because she was birthing out this pastor. There's no pastors in my immediate family. I'm the only pastor in my family. So God would have had to use my mom to birth me out in the realm of the spirit. And that didn't come with any cute kind of thing. That came with some serious licks and hollering and bawling. It came with some serious stuff. And so there are times when, you know, you are going through things. Your son is going through things. Your daughter is going through things. That's your child. That's your baby. You gave birth to that child. Mom, dad, you, that's your seed. You released that seed. And so when it comes especially to your children, you don't sit down with your cute self talking about, no, you get up and listen, you gotta be like that woman and the unjust judge. You gotta push. You gotta push, and you've gotta make that moment so, you've gotta make that moment so passionate. And then you've gotta believe God that because you pushed, something happened. Because you pushed. Java Janelle said, bless the Lord. Now we understand, Pastor. Yeah, because when it comes to your family, My God. Come on, Sister Felicia. Have your grandmother ever prayed for you? When your granny starts to pray, it's a different kind of prayer because she's sitting on top of two generations. Yeah. So when she starts to pray, it's nothing normal. I'm telling you, because that when you begin to feel that pressure for your family and your belly begins to burn, you've got to have faith that what you are doing in that moment is breaking the back of the enemy. So it's not for a show. We're not out here trying to, no, we're not movie stars. No, that's not what we're doing. What we are doing is applying our faith through fervency in prayer. My God, am I going to finish this tonight? Let's move on. So that's passion, that's faith as it relates to prayer. Tonight, we're going to talk about plan, and we're going to definitely talk about patience before we get to 9 o'clock. So we're talking about plan. So these are the 11 P's, and we're talking about three of them tonight. The 11 P's as it relates to faith. So faith and prayer goes hand in hand. Yes. So here's another way to show your faith and to grow your faith. Plan. Somebody write it in the chat. Bold letters. Plan. When you have faith, you plan. When you have faith, you plan. Let's look at Proverbs 16, verse 3. I'm going to ask somebody to put that in the chat. Luke 14, 28. Somebody put that in the chat. And Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. So I'm going to ask people to just post those in the comment section. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Luke 14, verse 28. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Post them in the chat. I'm waiting on you. I'm going to pull up Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We all know that one, but I want us to read it tonight from Scripture. So, Proverbs 16, verse 3, Luke 14, 28, and Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Put those in the comment section. Proverbs 16, verse 3, Jeremiah 29, and verse 11. Put the scripture in the comment section. I want to know that you guys are engaged with your word. Yeah. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Luke 18. Let me see. Luke 14 and verse 28. Who's put it in putting that scripture there? All right, let me pull it up. So we're looking at Proverbs 16, verse 3. Let's read what it says. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit your work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I like the ESV version. It says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. I love this version. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. To show your faith and to grow your faith, you must plan. Luke 14, verse 28. Let's read what that one says. Luke 14, verse 28. Thank you so much, Evangelist, for putting that in the comment section. Luke 14, verse 28. Turn there in your Bibles. Let's read it together. It says, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost? In other words, which of you, desiring to build a tower, doesn't sit down and plan whether he has enough to complete it? Let's look at 29. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all would see it and begin to mock him and saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Faith causes you to plan. When you've got faith, you plan. When you've got faith, you plan. And since we're almost out of time, I only have 2 points under this, and I really want to just lay this out to you tonight because this is big. Faith puts you in planning mode. When you've got faith, you plan. When you have prayed and God releases a word, it is time for you to plan for what God has released. We didn't read Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Let me see. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. So God be planning. God over here planning. God is over here planning for you. You got a plan. Your faith is going to put you in planning mode. Yeah. So when you have prayed and God releases a word, it is time for you to plan for what God has said. Planning says two things. Write these down. Planning is your way of saying to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for it. Number one, planning is your way of saying to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for it. Thank you, Ashley, for I know the plans I think towards you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God is planning. God is planning. So you also have to plan. Number one, again, planning is your way of saying to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for you. I will make room for you. I will prepare for two so you don't feel that you can't live here. All right, I'm not going to sing no more. Planning is saying to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for it. When you get pregnant as a woman, you can't wait until that baby is here to get the crib and get the stuff. No. You believe that that child is going to come and out. And we all know that pregnancy, you can't see what's going on in the belly. Especially when the child gets to a certain size, you can't see the ultrasound can't show you some stuff anymore because the child is too big now. So you can't see, but you believe by faith that you're going to have a healthy child. So you prepare and you plan for that. In the same way, after you've prayed and you pulled some stuff out of heaven, you become impregnated with whatever God has said. It's time to plan for what you pulled. Woo! It's time to plan for what you pulled out. And this is why it's important for you to spend time in prayer. Thank you so much, Desiree. Spend time in prayer so that you can receive what it is that and be impregnated in your spirit so that you can begin to plan for what you saw in your prayer closet. But planning says to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for this thing. Woo! I receive that I receive this multicultural church, this mega church, and I will make room for it. Mm-hmm. 2 Kings 4 and verse 3 to 4. Let's read what it says. Write it down. 2 Kings 4 verse 3 to 4. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars as each is filled. Put one aside. This is a story where Elisha would have gone to this woman and she was poor, she was broke, she had nothing else left. The creditors were coming for her sons. And the Bible said, Elisha said to her, go borrow vessels. In other words, go make room for what God is about to do. Go get empty vessels. Put those empty vessels in your house, close the door and pour. Excuse me, sir, what are we going to pour and fill these vessels with? Your faith is going to cause you to get what it is that you need to put in place so that God can do the downloading, so that God can do the filling up. If the woman didn't go and get the vessels, the oil wouldn't flow. Woo! If this woman in this particular scripture, when you have the time, read, it's a powerful scripture. If she didn't go and make preparation to get the things put in place, the oil wouldn't flow. So let me ask you now. Let me ask you a question. you are in a position or in the position that you are in, is it a possibility that because you have not made room, you have not planned for what God is about to do or what God is doing, you are in the position that you are? When I take up my productivity planner and I look at my planner, I am not seeing in my hand, in my bank account, or in my husband's wallet what I plan for. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm not seeing that in my hands right now, but I'm writing it down because where my vision goes, provision flows. So I'm writing down the plan so that every time I take it up and I bring it before the Lord, I'm reminding him of what he told me. And I've made the plan as to how it's all going to work out. And then God is going to begin to fill my life with the different things that I need to carry out the plan. So when you, okay, for example, you're going to launch a business. You can't launch a business without a business plan. You need a plan. So you got to sit down and you get somebody who understands how it works and you make notes. Okay, you're going to need this. You're going to need that. You're going to need this person. You're going to need that person. You're going to need this place. And this is a size place you're going to need. And this is the kind of staff you're going to need. This is who you're going to need on staff to get it done. This is what you're going to need. And you begin to plan for it. Are you seeing the business? No, but provision, where my vision goes, provision flows. So as I'm planning, God is causing the river in my life to flow. And as I make the plan, as I plan who I want to be a part of this thing, what I want to be a part of this thing, where I want this thing to be, how much is going to be in this thing, everything I have written down, Habakkuk 2:2 tells us, write the vision and make it plain. That's a part of your planning strategy. Writing the vision, making it plain so that those who see it may run with it. Though the vision tarries, wait for it because it must, it will, it shall, and it has to come to pass. So you plan and prepare for what God is going to do. Because you don't want, listen, you can't afford to not be ready for what God is doing. You can't afford to not be ready. Here is number two. Number one is planning is your way of showing God or saying to God, I receive what you have said and I will make room for it. Number two, planning prepares you for the overflow. Because God is not just going to do anything okay, so I have this jar and God's just going to fill it up and that's where it's going to end. No. God is always ready to give you more. So planning prepares you for the overflow. Luke 5 verse 1 to 6. Let's look at that scripture. In Luke chapter 5, this is a powerful scripture, by the way. Luke chapter 5, write it down. You got to read this and get this into your spirit so that you can be ready for what God is going to do. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little further from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down my nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Go back up to go back up to verse number 2. And he saw two boats by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them washing their nets. Now these men that the Bible here in Luke is talking about is the sons of Zebedee. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were on the river washing their net. Peter was out toiling all night. He was out there trying to catch fish all night. And these men would have sat down and knitted their nets, one version said. They were knitting their net. And in the same chapter, it continues to say that Jesus would have told Peter to let his net down. And when he pulled the net up, actually, it broke. It could not carry what God had prepared for Peter. Why? Because Peter didn't plan. He didn't plan for the overflow. Listen, always be ready for God to do more than what you've asked for. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. We could ask, imagine, or think. I'm going to say that again. Now unto him that is able, my God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, imagine, or think. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. You've got to understand that when you have faith in God, you've got a plan for the overflow. Because my faith indicates to me that God is going to do more, that God is going to do more, that God is going to do more. God is going to cause this thing to overflow. God is going to cause this thing to overflow. God is going to cause this thing to overflow. Now unto him, the Bible says, who is able to do exceeding abundant above all we could ask, imagine, or think. And planning prepares you for the overflow. When you've got faith, you plan because you know God's going to do more. You know God is going to do more. And if God is doing more, but you can't handle the more, what's going to happen? Your net is going to break. If you don't plan, if you don't listen, you've got to plan. Because when you are in planning mode, the Bible said Zebedee, James, and John, they were on the bank of the river knitting their nets. They were planning. And when Peter net began to break, Peter had to call James, Zebedee, and John to come help him pull up the weight of the big fish that they would have caught. He had to call him to help them, had to call them to help him pull it up because he wasn't ready. Is it possible that God is giving you more, but your net can't hold what God is giving you? Your net is broken. And you know what your net is? Your net is your pay after your growth. So after your, oh my God, I can't even go into this tonight. I really can't. After your taxes come out, you go home with your net pay. And if you don't do your budget and plan, God can't put more on you because it's going to break your net. It's going to break your income. You're going to be broke. Your income can't handle what God's about to do because you didn't plan for it. I have literally watched God bless me and my husband multiply what we have because guess what? We sit down and we budget and we plan. We invest, we tithe, we invest, we save, we do our due diligence, we do what we're supposed to do. And when we do that, when we work from the five jars of success, when we tithe, we give our offerings, we invest, we save, and we give to the we give to others, we watch God begin to work in our lives. But if you can't handle the net you have now, if you're not knitting your net, by knitting your net, I mean, if you're not budgeting and using and spending your money wisely, God can't allow you to pull up more because you won't be able to handle it. In other words, your four zeros or your five zeros can't go to six or seven zeros because you don't know how to handle the net you currently have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your faith should allow you to sit down and be diligent and plan. Your net is breaking because your net can't handle your bills. Your big fish, your net can't handle your bills. Your net is not handling or managing the things you've got to do because you didn't knit it. You didn't knit up your net. And when you look at your bank statement, you are spending on clothes. You are spending more on food. Nothing is going into saving. Absolutely nothing going into investment. And you're just spending and spending and wildly spending. And God can't do it in your life because you haven't sat down and knitted your net. You need to call Deaconess Joyce McCollum, financial coach, and get your net sorted out. You need to purchase Bishop's planner, the blue planner with the 5 jars of success. You need to get a coach. You need to sort out your net so that God can do more in your life. You know what's happening? Peter had to call James and John to help him to pull up the net because he didn't plan for what God was going to do. Your salary that you should be collecting is being broken up with 3 people, 4 people because you didn't plan. You don't have the emotional fortitude. You don't have the mental capacity. You didn't educate yourself. You didn't go through coaching. You didn't fix your emotions. You didn't do your part. So now God wants to bust you out to a 7-figure and he can't do it because if he does it, you're going to break. It's going to break. It's going to fall apart. And every time you're going to have like a big pretty net with a hole in the bottom and things are just going to slip through and slip through and slip through and you're not able to pull it up. So now because you're not able to pull it up, you're not able to pull your weight on that job, pull your weight in that business, pull your weight. You're not able to pull your weight. What begins to happen? Your money, they have to get other people to do your job. And so now the money is distributed. I curse that devil over your life, that devil of limitation, that spirit that causes you to be just, you know, just lackadaisical. You don't plan. You just live life. You don't plan for your money. You don't plan to do nothing. You just sit down there and whatever happens, you spend. You just spend wildly. You react. You know. No more of that. No. Knit your net. Because that's faith. In my budget, and I'm going to tell you a little secret. In my budget, I've got everything that I need to do, investment, savings, all of that stuff. And then I have added things in my budget. I don't have the budget for the things I've put there, but I'm believing God for a big pull. So what I've done is I have put in my budget listing, in the things that I need to do, are the things that I want to do, are the things that I have to do, or I'm envisioning that I'm going to do. So I have an actual budget, I have a vision budget, and I have the budget that I have. So I have all of these things at the bottom of it, and I have them in green, and I'm saying, I have them in a different color, and I'm saying these are going to turn to a normal color. Not too long from now, because I'm planning for these things. I'm looking at what my salary is going to be. I'm looking at what God is going to do in my life. And I'm already designating funds I don't have. And I've watched God, Sabrina, give me the funds for those designations. How much faith do you have? And there were days when I do the budget, I'm saying this don't make no sense because, you know, even if it's $2, I would put $4 in that thing or $3 or $50 or something. And I would allocate funds there, even if it doesn't, you know, it's not the number because I have a specific number I want to put there. A specific number I'd want to put in that particular fund. But I don't have the budget, so I keep seeding it. I'm giving you principles to win tonight. I keep seeding that thing. I put it in my budget and I keep seeding it. Mango seed faith. Luana, I just love you. I love you. Did I tell you today? I love you, girl. I keep seeding it because I know that eventually it's going to happen. And you know what began to happen? I saw where some of my bills started to go down and I was able to redirect funds and put those funds and make some things bigger. and start to do what I want to do and start to save. And then something happened. Something drastic happened. And some things began to be pulled back. But the funds that were being pulled back are actually funds that I would have allocated for places that I wasn't even sure of. So when those funds began to be pulled back, everything was already covered. I would have had savings in the funds that I would have put in there by faith. And now I'm able to balance out even though a storm hit. Because I planned. I didn't plan for the storm. I planned for the overflow, but the storm hit before the overflow. And you've got to know that when you are living by faith, these things happen. But I was not in reactive mode. I was in proactive mode because I'm literally looking at my budget right now because I color code it and make it pretty. So, you know, and so my husband is like, okay, great, wonderful. So what this color mean now? And what this color mean? And what this color mean? And we put it there so it's vivid in our minds. So we could be on the road. And I would say to him, you know, honey, we can do it. And he's saying, yes, that one at the bottom there, we can shift it up to there so and move it around. Because in our minds, it's there. It's printed in our minds. So before we make a move, we say, okay, where are we going to take this from now? And we come down the list in our because we planned. So we're not in reactive mode. I want you to win at life. I believe that you can win. I can't even get into patience tonight because patience is so big. Patience is so big and I can't rush it. So we're going to pick up on patience next week. Because when you have faith, you are patient. You're not anxious for nothing. So we're going to leave it tonight at plan. You're planning for what God is about to do in your life. Somebody write it in the chat. I'm a planner. I'm a faith planner. Write it in the chat. I'm a faith planner. I'm planning by faith. I don't see it yet, Shade, but I'm planning by faith. And I believe that as I'm writing it, as I'm putting it, as I'm putting that living, breathing document together, Sister Felicia, it's going to happen. Plan for your house. Plan for your education. Plan for it all. Stop waiting. Plan now. I am a faith planner. I plan by faith. I'm a faith planner. That's what we do. We plan by faith. We plan with faith. And we plan on faith. I am a faith planner. I'm planning because what's getting ready to happen in my life is outside of this world. I trust tonight was a blessing for you. Trusting that was a blessing for you. I feel full. I feel fulfilled tonight because I felt like God really spoke to us. We went through a range of emotions there. And, you know, we landed on this. I am a faith planner. And I see Instagram and Facebook, just the chat is lighting up with so many faith planners tonight. I'm a faith planner. I'm planning by faith and I'm planning with faith. I'm planning in faith. I'm planning on faith. Yeah, I'm planning beneath faith, above faith, below faith. Faith is all around me. I'm planning on faith. Faith is my foundation. I believe God. I believe that he's going to do it. And I'm believing for the overflow. And not only am I a faith planner, Nancy, I'm a faithful planner. Let's recap. So we looked at when you have faith, you pray. When you have faith, you plan. And we said that faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. Faith-filled prayer is faithful prayer. We talked about planning. When you're planning, you're saying to God, I've received what you have said, and I'm going to make room for it. Next week, we're going to talk about patience. We're going to go into looking at patience. We're going to go into looking at practice. And we're going to hopefully get to pivot. But tonight, we covered two of the 11 P's, pray and plan. When you've got faith, you pray. When you've got faith, you plan. And you don't just pray, but you pray passionately. All right, so I trust that this was a blessing to you, and I look forward to hearing from you on my social media pages. If this is blessing your life, I want to know. And I want to know, what would you like me to talk about on this podcast? Hit me up on my social media platforms. It's Kimola Brownlow. And you can just reach out to me and let me know. I want to hear from you. So make sure that you are hitting me up on my social media platforms. I love you guys. This is Transforming Lives, where transformation is the subject.